Now, we've been going through 1 Timothy these last months when I've been taking the service. And 2 weeks ago, we began breaking into this chapter 5. We had reached verse 17 where we began the reading tonight. And because we were so... got gathered round and had a little sort of interactive Bible study. I won't do that tonight. So we've had this rather difficult passage in a sense, and one to perhaps handle carefully on a Sunday evening when we're not perhaps prepared for it, but it's there in the scriptures. It might be difficult, and this is a difficult passage in one sense, but not that difficult. Because as we reminded through Ollie's ministry, we have the Holy Spirit to teach us and lead us. Now, last time, we began at verse 17, and I've called it, "Take care of your elders." Take care of your elders. It's all about the eldership and how they are to behave and how we are to behave. As Timothy has been instructed by Paul in this letter to organize and order the church at Ephesus, where he'd been sent, because they were a very young church. Paul knew the church, of course. He'd started it. Read Acts 19. So he learned that they were wrong, and they were going to be well... to look at that. And verse 15. "If I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct..." foundation of the truth. And this lovely, what some people will... small creed. Verse 16. "Beyond all question, the mystery from which true godliness springs is great." He, that's Christ, of course. "Seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, was taken up in glory." So, verse 15. How to God's church. How we ought to behave, members, including the elders, with the right approach in the face already coming into the church. He's dealt with worship and prayer, the place of men and women in the church, the qualifications for elders and deacons, chapter 3, and then he's concentrating chapter 4 on making sure that they stand firm against false teachings and giving some personal instruction and encouragement to Timothy how he is to bear himself in the local church. And I'll say this again as this letter closes, and he'll deal with the passage tonight. And then he comes to chapter 5, where he deals with different age groups and how they are to behave with one. Every church is made up of different ages and different backgrounds, and he gives recognition to that, and they are to do that as well. Verse 1 of chapter 5, for instance. Older men, older women, younger women, and so on. And then he turns to the matter of widows, particularly, and how to care for those. It seemed a particular problem. Just go back to the early days of the church in Jerusalem, where in Acts 6, you remember, there were a lot of widows around. It seems that men were dying for one reason or another and left a lot of... And there was a problem because there was a problem which had... the apostles dealt with it by appointing... more women than men... Nine of chapter 5, there seemed to be some widows over 60, so that's an age for that particular period, wasn't it? So he deals with older widows, but you behave, be cared for. Very practical instructions. Church life is practical. We're human beings, we have needs, both spiritual and material, and we are not to neglect either of those. And so we come to verse 17. And we began last time, I think I had, wait for it, you had 5 points. But half of those, because last time we dealt with, I think, about 4. Now, who was here 2 weeks ago? What you did. No, we'll carry on. We're just some where we got to from verse 17, I think we got to about verse 21, or 20 or 21. And what we did was to pick out key words and to think of how to summarize each verse with one word, and to sort of fix it in our minds in regard to our relationship to elders and their relationship to us. This is no light matter, especially we come to the difficult places where we see that elders can sin. We'll come to that. Well, we have dealt with it certainly, but we'll just cover it briefly now. Now, last time, I think we did four words out of these verses. First, verse 17. Now, if anyone can help me with this, those who were here last time, I'll ask for your help. Verse 17. The elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honour, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. We did think of work, because I wrote some things on a board, actually. I'm looking around. Honour. Yes, thank you. So have I. The word is to be honoured. They are to be honoured. We sort of put that word. It could be respected, valued, but that seems to be the case. And certainly, the qualification, there are two things here. On the elder's side, verse 17, who direct the affairs of the church well. They do their job well. They fulfill their ministry well. They care for the church in terms of the word of God, prayer, pastoral counseling, and so on. They're looking after the flock. They're shepherds who should look after the flock. Oh, that's their side. On our side, it's quite a strong phrase, worthy of double honour. Now, some people think it has financial implications. It may well do. We get our word honorarium from it, but I think it's not so much that. But worthy of double honour in terms of respect, because they are the leaders of this local church, and especially, it says in the second half of the verse, those who preach and teach. And why is that? Well, it's simply because they do preach and teach. That's the only authority they have. That's the only, in a sense, resource they have. And because it is the word of God, we should be careful how we listen to them and how we respect them when they teach us and preach to us. So, honoured. I think that. Honoured. Verse 18, here's where we go a bit quicker. And I think some people finance, because in verse 18, it quotes the Old Testament and the New Testament. Wait, do you remember what word we used for that? Who else was here? Wages? That's true. But I'm thinking of a similar word in terms of a verb, like honoured. No. Supported. Right? Supported. They need to be, should be supported, in this case, financially. And that scripture there comes from Deuteronomy, the first one. That picture of the ox treading out the grain and able to eat the food that it's treading out, or at least the grain that it's treading out. And the second reference there is a quote from the Lord Jesus, as you see from Luke 10. If you've got a margin reference there. And Paul backs that up, of course, in his teaching in the letters, that those who live by the gospel should be supported by the gospel, and those who support them. So here is the word supported, okay? And we prove that. I'm going a bit quicker because I want to get to the next passage. Do not entertain an accusation of an elder unless it is brought by two or three witnesses. Yes, one perhaps. They have. And how careful is it? It reflects the Old Testament position, doesn't it? Be brought. Unless there were two or three witnesses. In any case, that was the Jewish system. That's why the trial of the Lord Jesus Christ was a gross miscarriage of justice. They had to scrabble around for witnesses and to get to condemn him to death. Two or three witnesses. This is where we have to be careful. And why do you think that Paul mentions this particularly? He goes on in verse 22 to enlarge on that. is when they do fail or fall. But at this point, we don't know whether they have in verse 19. Simply because they are the leaders. Well, every army has its leadership. Of course, in the old days, kings, leaders used to lead the troops in battle. They were out the front. Don't do that now, do they? But for churches, elders should be out the front leading. That's why they're called leaders. And because leaders push their head above the parapet sometimes, encouraged, they get shot at. I'm sure the brother pastors and ministers here got shot at. I have, certainly. And we can expect that because we are leading the work. If you can get the leader moved out of the situation or downcast or depressed because of accusations, the devil's won. And we decided, we concluded that you need to pray for your leaders, that they would be protected from false accusations. And they will bear up under it. Because sometimes ministers crack. Sometimes the pressure is too great. This passage is about, yes, it's Timothy, of course, and the elders at Ephesus, but it applies right across the board to all those who lead the work. This is not unimportant. It happens. And we need to pray for the protection of the Lord on those who lead the work. So that's number three. But verse 20. There are those elders who do sin. They're only human. They're sinners like us. And sometimes they really feel their weakness and they are tempted. I was thinking about this afternoon again. I mentioned it last time, I think. I can think of a half a dozen men, at least, in my personal knowledge, who've gone this way and have ruined their ministries because they've fallen to temptation one kind or not necessarily sexual. Sometimes it has been that. They need your prayers because often they are alone. You're out at work or at home, and you know when a person is alone, all the temptations can come. I know one man a long time ago now, and I won't mention him, of course, you won't know him anyway. He fell to internet pornography. To just disappear, dismissed from his ministry. And we know with our recent difficulties at Workington, of course, we've had that there too. So do pray that the Lord will protect, but also that the church can deal with it properly. Often these things are not dealt with properly. They're just pushed under the carpet. The Lord will only bless the church where it is right with God and it's dealt in the proper way. Because here we see verse 20, those elders who are sinning, you are to reprove before everyone. Now, in some cases, if I can say this, ordinary members, that may not be necessary. Jesus gives us the procedure in Matthew 18 about dealing with sin in churches. If you know someone has sinned, then go to them personally. If they won't hear you, bring two or three witnesses. And if they won't, take it to the church. Only then. This does happen. So we need to be aware of the biblical instructions and principles by which we deal with these things properly. Because once we deal with them properly, the Lord can bless the church again. He's tender, didn't he? The whole nation, until it was dealt with. Some people think, too severe. Sin had to be rooted out. First churches who I moved to after Bible College. Talking about from first just within the local dealt with. The rebuke is public. Why? End of verse 20. So that the others may take warning. So four things so far: honoured, supported, protected, and yes, rebuked. They are not above criticism. They're not above the word of God. So pray for your elders, pray for your leaders, and particularly pray for those who are set aside to give themselves to prayer and the word of God every day and every week. And this, the seriousness of it, is brought out in verse 21, and I think we can move on here. Speaks to Timothy again more. This is the seriousness. I'm going to touch on this one last time. Why is this so serious? Because, verse 21, it is in the sight of God. God sees our church. God sees every church, his church, and he's concerned for his glory, his power and his presence in the church. And if there's sin in the church, he cannot bless. The psalmist says individually, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. These are hard things, aren't they? But this is reality. This is the word of God. It's in the sight of God and Christ Jesus and the elect angels. Many are watching. Those angels, those loved spiritual beings that look after the saints. Those one and are watching us. They're watching us now, as well as God the Father and Christ. So he exhorts Timothy, verse 21, to keep these in of favoritism. I coined the word here for Timothy, but to be faithful. Faithful. The word of God has divine authority. First, Paul, I charge you, he says, in the sight of God. Now, Christ is in the angels, keep these instructions. Particularly those who handle the word of God in the listen. It's also a comforting thought too, isn't it? He knows our hearts. The preaching ministry is to be done with obedience and faithfulness to the word of God and what it says in its completeness. Can't miss anything else, not even this passage. I can't avoid it. It's there. It is to be done impartially, fairly, justly, carefully. Without respect to persons. Although I'm aware of your faces. Paul talks about itching ears. Sometimes the preacher has to say uncomfortable things. That's the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. That's not good words to those who don't want to. And see also to Christians to say straight things from the word of God. But the Lord Jesus, the Apostle Paul here, didn't hold back from saying the truth. He is the truth and he has to speak the truth. And so do your preachers and elders. Pray for wisdom for elders and especially those who preach. Let's move on and see how far we get tonight. Verse 22. I'm doing it verse by verse. They seem to be distinct, but of course there is a connection. It's exhortations to help the Ephesus to order the church well in such a way that it is blessed and it grows. Because where there is unity and truth worked out, there will be blessing upon it. So verse 22. Do not be hasty in the laying on of hands. And do not share in the sins of others. Here's the thing about elders, and I've coined the word here, proved. Laying on of hands, you know about that because we've done it here, and I'm sure the other churches have done it that are present tonight, means something the elders with the church will recognize that there is a gift here that has to be confirmed. We lay hands on somebody. It means identification. We recognize the gifts of this man, and it is men. It is also, secondly, a confirmation of those gifts and the call to that office of eldership. It is also, thirdly, a commission. We commission people by laying hands on them. Three things there about, I think, laying on of hands. But they are to be proved, it says. And it seems with that phrase, do not share in the sins of others, in other words, if an elder or a person has sinned, we're not to confirm that person in that office to share in their sins. Is that the right way to look at it? I think it is. It's one way anyway. So elders are to be proved, tested, given time. And the deacons are as well. We know that too. It says that in chapter 3. But even so here, notice it's do not be hasty, implying that usually elders are a bit older. Not always. You can mature in your mid-20s or you could be very young when you're still 80, or immature in a sense. So it's not a matter of age, is it? It's a matter of spiritual growth, character, and maturity. That's what we look for, don't we? And may I say to the church here, we're still looking for more elders for the next 10, 20 years, because it takes time, either people to join us or grow up within the church, to train them, to prepare them, to test them, and then finally to confirm them. So pray for the next generation of leaders here and in all the churches. Many haven't got any elders at all, to their great loss, I believe. So we need to pray for them, that they be raised up amongst us and confirmed amongst us, and we can lay hands on them and commission to this very great task. In chapter 3, Paul calls it a noble task. Not because the men themselves are noble, it's the task that's noble. It's an awesome task. I hope you're getting the message. I'm sure you are. Because the church is affected by its quality and character of leadership. Every group is, isn't it? And especially the church. And that's why he just says that little last phrase in verse 22, keep yourself pure, implying perhaps that the sins of those who have fallen involve sexual immorality. Keep yourself pure. And he's alone. As far as we know, he's not married, Timothy. Strong, virile young man, although he's not so strong, is he? We shall find out in the next verse. But certainly a young man or younger man, still open to temptation. I remember going to a fraternal once in my previous ministry and being greatly surprised when a mature, senior, greatly respected pastor saying he was having the same temptations as he had as a young man. He must have been about 50 then. I was much younger and I was greatly surprised, looking up to him, of course. Yes. So pray again that our elders and pastors will be kept. Keep yourself pure. Verse 23. That word was proved, but this word I'm going to put in verse 23, cared for. Cared for, verse 23. Elders, like all times of low spirits and depression, and our brothers, I'm sure, could identify with that. We know that, don't we? And we're still praying for you, Phil and Guy. They get sick, they have weaknesses, and they may need, as here, some practical, medical, sensible advice. Apparently, Timothy, verse 23, is frequently ill. He seems to have had a weak disposition. So he counsels the use of a little wine. Obviously had stomach problems. Some of us know that about that, don't we? Now, I think in that age, one, the wine was less strong than it is today in terms of percentage alcohol, but also, of course, of the dangerous nature of the water. So rather than go to infected water, take a little wine. So that's why I say it's sensible. I'm glad we got some nurses in the fellowship. I wish we had a doctor sometimes, but we got some nurses to help us in these things. Sometimes, should I say this, some men don't take advice. And they come a cropper. So pray that those who lead us will take advice when it's necessary and be careful. But we ought to make sure that they're cared for. Paul is caring for his younger fellow worker here. There's great love here, isn't there? Very practical advice. Christianity is very practical. Sometimes we think it's sort of up there. It's down to earth, isn't it? Just like the Lord Jesus when he raised up that little girl. Give her something to eat. Very practical. She had probably hadn't eaten anything for a long time. So he had some very practical, sensible advice. The right use of the mind applied to the situation. Wisdom. This morning. Wisdom. The application of the right thing at the right time. The knowledge that you have. So, cared for. With Timothy, drinking water might have been risky. So he's counseled to have a little wine. Pray again for protection then, because it's a hard task, because there's no sort of 9 to 5 hour job for an elder. Scripture, certainly. It's continuous. Time off. We need to watch that, don't we? And rest and relax with the family, if they've got one. So they can relax and come back to the work refreshed. Don't ask too much of your oath. By the way, you might have noticed I put on the end there of the missionary board some Joel Beakey advice, 10 Commandments for Pastors. If you haven't read it, read it. It's quite different. But that's one of them. Make sure that they're cared for. Don't make them an idol. Don't put them on a pedestal. We get tempted to pride as much as anybody. As soon as I stop preaching, the devil will come to me and say, "That was a good sermon, wasn't it? I have to deal with it straight away." You don't think I get those temptations? I do. And all preachers do, I'm sure. So cared for. Let's care for them. They need time to gather their strength physically, emotionally, mentally, and especially spiritually. Time to pray. Time to wait on the Lord. Time to read. Time to study. Time to consider things. Time to look at the future and have a vision for the future. They need time for that. So don't bash in on them on their day off, please. What's your day off, Ollie? Monday, there we are. You know now is his day off. Keep away from Ollie on Monday. We used to be Mondays, but I'm not quite sure what our day off is now. We take it when we can, but please guard them. Many leaders continue to serve the Lord despite much weakness. John Calvin, Martin Luther, Charles Spurgeon. God dear me, what a bag of bones and things they were. But they carried on. William Carey, David Brown. And sometimes men burn themselves out too quickly. So that's why we need to protect them and pray for them. Make sure they're not doing too. And don't be unafraid to say so. Some of you aren't, I know. You need to do that. Right, let's move on to number 8. We're almost there. Verse 24. The sins of some are obvious, reaching the place of judgment ahead of them. The sins of others trail behind them. This is applied to elders, I believe. Some men do clearly, publicly, tragically fall into sin. This verse says sometimes they can hide it. Most of you know, in the confidence of this building tonight, it was 20 years before the situation was discovered at Workington. And we had to deal with it. Still not really dealt with, actually. But the Lord knows that. But these are to be removed from office straight away. It is clear and obvious that they are to be judged before the great judgment. The sins of others trail behind them. Sometimes, yes, it is delayed before it's exposed. I'm sorry to talk about these things, but they're in the scriptures and they need to be talked about because it does happen. It can happen to me or any other elder or any other leader. It can happen. That's why we need, I keep on saying this, but I keep underlining it, we need to pray for protection for our church and for our leaders in this. Some seem to be able to cover their sins for a while, even while preaching the gospel with apparently great passion and power, in all the time, sin behind. My assistant at Chesham came to me one day, "Do you know so-and-so has come out?" Perhaps some people might remember that. I fell on the floor with him and wept with him. Because it was another one. Somebody else had just gone away with another member of the church. Happen. Fortunately, I wasn't personally involved and didn't have to deal with it. But yeah, the day of judgment will reveal all. We cannot hide anything but from God. It's also a case, of course, when sin in the church is not dealt with. Let alone the leaders. Some just run away. Some just leave. They leave our church and go to another one, and the other church doesn't contact you and say, "Who are these people? Why do they come to us?" I've had that experience. Very, very sad. God is merciful and gracious, but he does not tolerate unconfessed sin not properly dealt with in a local church. In all my different ministries, and I've had three or four in different places, I've had to leave several people in the hands of the Lord because I couldn't deal with it. They wouldn't own up, or they wouldn't come confront themselves. And my conscience is clear, as far as I know, I've got to leave it to the great day if he didn't expose now. These are serious issues and real ones. Why? Because it concerns the purity of the local church and the glory of God and the progress of the gospel. That's why Paul's exhortation to Timothy is an encouragement to keep himself pure and blameless. But verse 25 puts a more positive slant on it. In the same way, good deeds are obvious, and even those that are obvious cannot remain forever. We've looked at the necessity to be judged if there's sin, but there's also the necessity to be commended. That's my last word tonight, commended. Verse 25. Faithful, loving ministry in word and deed cannot be hidden forever. All of us know, and particularly those of us who are preachers, perhaps, and leaders, know of men who laboured on in situations without being noticed. I'm sure we could say someone like Tony Aubrey at Broughton laboured faithfully for many years and now is in quite a difficult situation where he's seen most of the church go, although they're seeing signs of encouragement there, I gather. So, but there are many men like this, may not be seen by men or acknowledged by others, but known by God, and they will eventually be commended. We have a reward, not now, but at the great day. No one else, some perhaps even sees what they're doing. It's often a hidden work to lead God's work. God sees what a man does. So he is finally and firstly accountable to God. Remember, your leaders are not accountable to you, finally. They're accountable to God. And that's why sometimes it is difficult to lead. Sometimes we have to say difficult things. I hope in love. That's why you need to pray for them. So goodness and faithfulness is to be commended. Now, those of us who lead are not looking for thanks. But I'm very encouraged when you come up to me or to Olia. Thank you for that. That was great help. We don't get our reward in this life, but it's nice to have a word of encouragement. I'm not asking for that. Don't all rush afterwards and come up to you. But you know what I'm saying. They are to be commended. Good deeds are obvious, and even those that are not obvious cannot remain hidden forever. The Lord sees, and he rewards and blesses eventually. Well, there we are. Let me just summarise this. Originally, my message was going on to chapter 6. That's why Don read into chapter 6, because it's an interesting contrast between elders, the qualifications, the character, the care, the prayer that's needed, the leaders, but then he immediately talks about slaves in the same church. But they are to behave in a similar way. We'll come to that next time, God willing. But just remember of these things then, that elders are to be cared for. Care for your leaders. Honoured, supported, protected, rebuked, faithful, proved, cared for, judged and commended. I don't know if you can remember all those, perhaps you've jotted them down. That is the word of God tonight. May he bless it to us and help us to be a good local church who pray for, protect and serve well, both members and leaders. Amen.